And welcome and good morning to each and everyone that's here. And I'm glad to be back. Like I said, I've been gone for actually two Sundays in a row, so trying to get refamiliarized with things, and had to go out because I forgot something I was going to use for reading, so I had to leave to get that. So you're kind of like trying to get sorted back into the routine, if that's okay. But it is good to see everyone, and I know there's a couple. We had men's breakfast yesterday as well, and one of the gentlemen there, he said that they wouldn't be here today because of having to go see his mother and all, and they'd be gone. And so it was good to see him at that, at least, because it's been a few weeks there as well. But I don't know, when you're not at church, for me, you really begin to miss people. You miss the family of God. You miss different ones and what they're going through. When I get back, I almost have to call some just to touch base with them to see how they're doing and say, hey, I'm still around. Hey, what's going on, you know? And look forward to seeing you tomorrow or stop by and see you or whatever the case might be. So it is very good to be back, and I'm glad to be back. Today I want to get into the area from what we have been going through with Max Lucado in the Glory Days study of living your promised land life now. And it's just very, very much needed. We need to understand what God has already provided for us and what he has given to us. And much of that is now just go out and do what? Claim it and call it as it is. And it's not name it and claim it type things, but it's things that in God's word, he has told us to take dominion over situations. We've said this many times. You live on a street in Janesville. You can take dominion over that street. I've had situations where I felt there was just bad things happening a few doors down and in a duplex setting or whatever, you know, just shady things happening, you know, and you're always thinking of, oh, the bad stuff, you know, and gangs and drugs, and I think it was drugs. But I just began to pray. I said, okay, Lord, enough of this. I live on this block, and I'm taking dominion. I'm going to be a block watcher. You know, the police department has their neighborhood watch, and I'm going to be my block watcher. And I don't have to have a sign up on the post of anything to say this is that. I've just taken that authority. I'm going to take that dominion over that area. And I just began to pray. I said, Lord, and I always not just get them out of here. I just say, Lord, if they're doing something illegal and it's not right and it could cause harm or whatever the case might be and they're not a good element to have in your neighborhood, in my neighborhood, Lord, I just pray that you would get them out of here. Move them out. That wasn't like Rawhide. Get them out. Move them out. Yaha. You know? It's just like, get them out of here. Tired of dealing with it. So you pray that. And all of a sudden, about a week and a half, 2 weeks maybe, I don't know. It's a very short time after that. And then, I don't know, people could say coincidence. You can go on coincidence. I go on the power of God and taking that authority. And all of a sudden, and they're not moving out in the daytime. They're moving out like at 9:30 at night. 10 o'clock at night, all of a sudden these cars are backing up in trailers and they're hauling stuff out. My one daughter says, Dad, what's going on down there? I go, I don't know, looks like they're moving out. Sure enough, they move out. That's just a short, small example of how you, knowing who you are in Christ, knowing what Christ has done in you and for you, take that authority over your area. I can go on in stories and people that I have personal friends that were teachers in the district. She'd have kids that would come to her class in Parker High School, and they were unruly kids. You could just tell from the get-go it was going to be a bad year for her. She'd go home and tell her husband, oh, I don't know, I got these kids, and oh, boy, this one's going to be a rowdy one, oh, boy. So her and her husband just begin to commence to praying at home, and praying for her class, praying for the kids that she was to teach. Lord, if that child or that boy, girl, whoever is going to be a disruption, going to be a problem, move them out. He said she'd go to school next day or so, and a few days later, all of a sudden that chair was empty where that kid was at. They were gone. Coincidence? Or the power of God? I want to err on my God, because my God is no error. I'm an heir of his, joint heirs with Jesus, amen. So I am an heir of that, but I'm not going to err, E-R-R-O, on just, well, I know that my God has power. I know that he can take situations that I can't deal anything with, have any way of influencing, but I can influence them by what? Prayer. Taking it for real, what God's word says, to take dominion over these situations. you can branch out, and it's when God gives you that feeling, it's got to be something within you. All of a sudden, a citizen of Janesville, we can pray for this city. You know, the state of, and it gets kind of crazy, and I don't know how far out we can go, but I can pray for Wisconsin. I can, you know, I'm a citizen of the United States. I can. Is everything going great when I pray for this, for the country? No. Does that mean I stop praying for the country? No. I still take that rightful place because God's word says to pray for those in authority and leadership over you. Pray for your government. Pray for these officials. These people are put into those positions, believe it or not, by God. We think we're put there by votes, but actually God places people into orders of leadership, kings and rulers and things of that nature. We call them a president and Congress and senators and things like that. But never discount the power of prayer. But the thing is, a lot of us, we don't know how to pray, we don't know when to pray, we don't know if we should pray, we don't know if we've got the power to pray, we don't, oh boy, should I come before you, God? And so the book of Max Lucado, Glory Days, one of the chapters, and we just covered it last week and this week, says, praying audacious prayers, bold, everybody say bold, prayers. Not timidity, not going, oh, Lord, if it's you, oh, help me, Lord, please, oh, gee, oh, whoa. Uh-uh. When it's something that's really within you, you just go, and we'd shared this about, I went back to my records about a year ago, I did some teaching and we had some messages on Hebrews, excuse me, Hebrews 4:16. Past year, God had shared from Hebrews 4:16 with us, and I brought it before you for a few weeks. And it was this, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. And I ask everybody here that day, who here has a need? We generally all have needs. Well, you know what you can do? You can go and approach God boldly if you know who you are in Christ. You reverentially fear Him. You reverentially know Him as your Heavenly Father. You know, it's not just go willy-nilly up there and just think you could just pull a whatever and get prayer things. You go before Him in honor and glory and grace, and we sang and do songs and worship and praise Him because of who He is. And when we get to that level to where we know who we are in Christ and knowing that He's there for us, that we can go there in a boldness with our petition. Amen. The Amplified will say this, therefore, this is the same scripture in Hebrews 4:16, therefore, let us, that's with a privilege. Do you know you have a privilege? We're privileged kids of God to go before Him. Woo! Approach the throne of grace, the grace, that is the throne of God's gracious favor. God has mercy, God has grace for every one of us. God has grace, God has mercy for every sinner outside these four walls, and even some sinners inside the four walls, you know, wherever that might be, I don't know. But God's grace and mercy is abundant. And it's by that grace and mercy that we have all received Christ as our Lord and Savior. It is all by that grace and mercy that He loved us so much that He sent Jesus Christ to die for us. We're going to look at that in a few weeks at Easter. That He loved us so much that He sent His Son to die for you to wash and cleanse your sins away. Does that mean we'll never have sin again? No. We walk in a life and we walk and we're human and we do things and we get into things and whatever happens and all of a sudden we get tripped up and we do something we shouldn't have or whatever and we might fall back into sin or something might hang on us or we might do something. But it's those times when that happens that you sense by the Holy Spirit, lay it down quick, repent quickly, ask God to forgive you, and move on. We've got to realize and understand that God is full of grace and mercy. And you can ask for forgiveness just as much as I can ask for forgiveness if you're a child of His. It's just like your earthly mom and dad. You might mess up a few times, a lot of times, I don't know, I messed up, we all messed up. We go to our mom and dad, and for some reason, they might be a little upset at that time, and this and that, but yet they still loved us. Amen. They still helped us. They still said, well, I hope you've learned something from this, And by doing that, then it really wasn't a totally lost cause of no use. We learn, generally, we only learn by mistakes. And it would be great if you could learn everything in life by just reading a book and never making another mistake. Wouldn't that be a bestseller? Well, the Bible is one of those books, or the book, that would help us in that totally. But even then, we read it, and God's Word helps us, and God's Word directs us, and God's Word tells us what to watch out for. But we don't always take it to heart. And we have to make these mistakes. And so just like my earthly parents, and as I hopefully have been to my kids, yes, you did wrong. Yes, you shouldn't have done that. Yes, I probably told you not to, but you did it anyway. But now you've seen the errors of your ways. But now you've learned a lesson. I still love you as my son or daughter. And that's God. Yeah, Tim, you blew it here, you blew it there, you didn't do that right, you didn't do this, blah, 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 blah. But you recognized it, you asked for forgiveness, you repented of that sin, and God says, I love you. My righteousness is of His, not of my righteousness. It's God working in us. And that's what our... That's really what life is all about while we're here on this side of heaven, is just to work our life to the point to where God's righteousness, God's love, God's warmth, God's joy, God's strength, God's peace works through us to show those around us something that they don't maybe have. And they say, oh, I like what you've got. Can I have some of it? What store in the mall did you buy that at? I go, I didn't buy it. It's free. Free? Free indeed. Just receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. For the Word says that none come to the Father except through Him, that He is the life, the door, the way into the things of God. But anyway, we get back to this. Oh, how did I get off of that? Grace. Woo! Get on grace, grace and mercy with God, and you can talk a lot, because we all need it. But therefore, let us, with a privilege, approach the throne of grace, that is, the throne of God's gracious favor, with confidence and without fear, so that we may receive mercy for our failures, and to find His amazing grace to help in a time of need, an appropriate blessing coming just at the right moment. That's the thing we've got to realize and understand, that God is never late. Many times in our early Christian walk, and in those times that we're not understanding of things, we have a problem, God finally shows up, and we go, well, what took you so long, God? Why are you late? On my timetable, you're late. But on God's timetable, it's just perfectly on His time. Amen. God is never late. He's never early. He's perfect. You will never surprise God with a problem you're going through. Something happens tragically to you. You go to God and you say, oh God, I bet you didn't know that was going to happen. That's not surprising God. Because in the Word it says He knows the beginning to the end, the Alpha and Omega, everything from the beginning to the end of our life. His Word tells us that He knew us before we were even formed in our mother's womb. He knew you before you were a child. He knew you before you were born. He knew you before you came here. And He knows what you're going through. He knows what you're going to go through. And if we can just hook up with Him, you'll be successful. And I'm not saying successful in man's ways of rich and $1 million in the bank. But I'm saying you'll have a successful, fulfilled life of joy, of love, of peace, of all these things that the world is looking for. And the world is trying to find it. And the world is trying to buy it. And the world will not find it that way. They will find it in a temporary way, and money will do this and this will do that, or whatever the case might be. But we find out that it is short-lived, or it can be taken away in a flash. I was reading, and I should have brought it, a letter from Rick Renner. When they just began their ministry over in Russia and beginning to open up the church there in their mission field, they just began to settle into Russia while it was still the USSR, I guess, and before it really started to break up. And so they got there, and they took $1,000 cash, and they bought, I don't know what they bought. I want to say rubles or something like that, or whatever the market value, whatever they were using to pay at that time. They took $1,000, they got there to USSR, Russia, they buy this so they'd have some money to go for a few weeks, $1,000. They went to bed that night. Overnight, whatever that mark was that they had, it was no longer of value. Things changed in the Russian hierarchy and everything started shifting, and they spent $1,000, and that $1,000 was worth nothing. They had zero amount of money to even buy a loaf of bread. Even if you had money to buy bread, he said in his letter, you probably wouldn't find it because it was just a run-on. It's probably like, in a way, maybe like the Depression time here, but even like 10,000 times worse, because whatever money they had that was old, that they used to use, was no longer of value. So now you had all these people that didn't have nothing. Overnight. And that's what happens when man puts his trust in the riches. That's what happens when man puts his trust in the things that man does or man dictates. It can be pulled out from under you. You can go to bed a wealthy man and wake up the next morning broke because of the things that happen. With God, it's not like that. With God as our source, He will always provide for you. Amen? You will always see God's hand of provision working through situations. And He said it did work there. Even though they didn't have financial things, day by day they began to have things develop and things of food and bread and all this stuff that they were able to get. And little by little they were able to rebound from that. But for them it was because of the grace of God. So how is your prayer life, I must ask? Do you receive prayers? Do you receive answers to your prayers? Do you expect to receive answers to your prayers? Sometimes people pray, and they pray because they've been told to pray, but sometimes they pray with thinking like, probably not going to do any good. Well, maybe. You know, it's a crapshoot. I don't know. Maybe it'll happen. Maybe it won't. And that's sad to go to God on that type of a thought process. Because when I go to pray to God, I go to pray believing that He hears. Amen. How many hear? When I pray, I know He hears me. Because Jesus is at the right hand of Him interceding for us. That's what the Word says. That's why He had to go so that the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, could come. I'm going to go. I'm going to be at the right hand of God the Father. I'm going to intercede for you. Petitioning your prayers as they come before God. So anyway, do you expect to receive answers to your prayers? You've got to pray and you've got to expect. You cannot pray and have doubt. A lot of our walk with the things of God is, of course, by that big word that means so much, that's really hard at times to grab a hold of, and it's that word of faith. Evidence of things not seen. That's what faith is. Evidence of things not seen. But I know with my God, and I know that I read His Word, and I know what He has promised for me, and I know in my spirit what He has shared with me, He's going to make that way for me, or He's going to take care of that for me. Understanding myself, I understand, it may not be the way that I would like to do it, but that's where I've got to resign that of what I would like it to be done, and believe that God is doing it because He is all perfect, all knowing, and He knows what Tim needs all the time. I may want it answered this way today, but I don't realize if it was answered this way today, it was going to cause a problem 3 weeks down the road at that time. But when God answers a prayer here, it's going to solidify, it's going to take care of the tomorrow, the next week, the next month, whatever the case might be, if we get to that level of understanding and trust with Him. A prayer is a solemn request for help or an expression of thanks addressed to God. I want to read a story. Real quick here, you got to remember, we did spring ahead, so if we need to, we can set the clocks back 1 hour to kind of help us stay in that mode, okay? Amen. This is John Wesley was crossing the Atlantic Ocean. Contrary winds came up. He was reading in his cabin when he became aware of some confusion on board. When he learned that the winds were knocking the ship off course, he responded in prayer. Adam Clark, a colleague, heard the prayer and he recorded it. And the prayer went something like this. Almighty and everlasting God, Thou hast sway everywhere, and all things serve the purpose of Thy will. Thou holdest the winds in Thy fist and sittest upon the water floods, and reignest a king forever. Command these winds and these waves that they obey Thee, and take us speedily and safely to the haven whither we go. Wesley stood up from his knees, took up his book, continued to read. It's done. I prayed. Kind of reminds me of a story, I think, Jesus on a boat, sleeping. And the disciples going, "Woo, we're out here, we're going to drown. Wake him up, Master, what's going on?" We all get like that sometimes. So Wesley, he stands up from his knees, he takes his book that he was reading, and he continues to read. Dr. Clark went on deck, where he found calm winds and a ship on course. But Wesley made no remarks about the answered prayer. Clark wrote, "So fully did he expect to be heard that he took it for granted that he was heard." Woo! Wow. That is faith. That is getting right down to it, guys. To where you can sit there and pray and then go right back to what you're doing like nothing's, like, "Hey, I've prayed. It's in the Lord's hands now." And that's what it's about. And that's what we need to do. And that's where we should be and try to get to. And I hope, myself included, as I go along that journey of trying to get that closeness with God, and I'm continuing to try to do that day by day, that I can share some things and help you as well go along that same thing, and let's just keep going closer to God and hear and let Him hear your prayers and trust Him for those things. That's where it's at. You don't even have to worry after you pray. It's just like we've tried to share times to where when people pray, is to say, "Hey, after you've prayed, begin to thank God for the answer." "Well, I don't know what the answer is." Well, God does. And it's by faith we begin to pray. It's by faith we begin to praise. We pray by faith, we praise by faith, maybe. I don't know. But begin to say, "Thank you, Lord. You've heard my prayer. And Lord, I'm just going to wait for your answer. And whatever that answer is, Lord, I know it'll be perfect and good. And if I don't understand your answer to my prayer, help me understand it. Because in my life, I want thy will to be done." That was one of the model prayers, of course, when the disciples asked Jesus, "How do we pray? Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done." The thing is, we want God's will to be accomplished in our life. Because with everything in God's will, it's going to be good. God's will is good. He loves us. He wants to care for us. We know we live in a fallen world, and this is not a perfect place to be. That's why there's tragedies. That's why there's death. That's why there's sorrow and heartache and all these things that take place. And that's why it's so hard to tell those on the outside and to have an understanding when bad things happen, even to good people. It's like, why did that happen? There's been stories of men and women, families that faithful to God, going to church and all this, and sometimes on their way home from church, they get broadsided by a drunk driver or something, and one or two, or maybe the family is all killed, and you're going, "Oh my gosh, why did that happen? This was a perfect family, just Lord, honoring you and going to church and doing all these things." But it gets back to that point to where we have to understand we live in a fallen world. And just as I've got a will to do what I want to do, my will is to follow God. This other person down the street from me, they've got a will. Maybe they're not going to follow God. They're just living life to the fullest. They're just doing their thing. And it just so happens. It happens. And as a pastor, I don't have an answer for that. I don't have anything that I can pull out of my hip pocket to say, "Well, this is why it happened exactly, and now we feel comfort in that." Many times we don't feel comfort in that, other than I know that my comfort comes from God, and that I can pray to Him and ask Him to intercede into this situation and help us work through it. We may not understand it. We may not even be able to wrap our head around it. That's the same scenario when people have bad things happen to them, and some people hold that anger and hostility. Others have a bad thing happen to them, and the news media is going, "Well, what do you say about that?" And they go, "Well, first thing is, we forgive that person for hitting our son or for shooting our son or for killing that person." Whatever the case might be, we've had some testimonies. We've had some examples of that happening out in the real world where the family that had a tragic thing happen to a lovely member of their family, and the first thing or one of the first things they want to get out of their mouth is, "I don't understand what God's plan is for this, but God is my God. And I just want to say that we forgive that first person for doing that." It's pretty powerful. I stand before you hoping that I could do that same thing. But I can't guarantee it at this point in time. Oh yeah, I could be super spiritual and say, that's what I would do. Exactly like that. Because I'm a pastor, or I'm a child of God, and God has all these promises, and that's exactly the way I'd feel. We don't know how we're going to feel until that time hits. But we've got to remain strong and trusting God as much as we can, and we use those examples to even, believe it or not, we use those things as a testimony to actually help us as well. Because that says volumes about that family, that couple, that husband, that mom and dad, and their faith in something much greater than what's on this earth. Yeah, I can't explain those things that happen, but I do know that my God is in control. And I do know that His Word says what the devil means for bad, the Lord can take it and turn it around for good. We don't understand all these things, but we do live. And the thing we've got to get in, and most people understand it, is that we do live in a fallen world. This is not heaven. Perfect things don't happen every day perfectly. We live in a world that it says in the Word of God that the god of this world is the devil. Principalities, these powers, these things that we're battling, it's the devil's playground down here. Aren't we blessed to be in the middle of it trying to show God's light? And that's what it's about, showing God's light, showing God's love, showing God's compassion. What would Jesus say? What would Jesus do in a situation like that? How did Jesus respond in the New Testament when he came across situations in lives that didn't seem quite right? How did Jesus respond when they took him and put him on that cross that we call Easter? How did he respond? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. The world that we live in now, being the god of this world, being the devil, people do things they don't even understand. They're being controlled by another force, and it's not of the things of God, of our God. It's another spiritual force out there. That's what we got to get to understand. I'm not making it spooky, all these things, and all that, woo-hoo-hoo. But there is things, and that's what it's about. God's Word says, choose this day who you will serve. Many people out in the world don't understand that. They think, oh, that's just God, that's just the Bible, that's just some man put stuff in there. No, God tells it from the get-go. What did I say now? Choose. Yeah, I'm talking about choose this day who you will serve. Amen. It's in God's Word. And He says, you, each and every one of us in here today, God is saying, you've got a choice. To choose this day who you will serve. You're either serving God, or serving the devil. Now, we that are serving the devil, when I was before God, before I got Christ in my life, I didn't realize I was serving the devil. I was just living life. This is what life is all about. But then you get into things of God, you begin to see His Word and what He has spoken of and what's been put in this book, and we begin to understand these things, that God said these things. You got to choose. You got to make choices. And we tell our kids today, make what? Wise choices. You go to school, you go out in life, your kids get older and they get bigger. As a parent, you're always concerned, like, oh, Lord, I can't be with them all the time now. They're out in school, they're in high school, they're making choices, they're at this, they're at that. As parents, you pray a lot more when your kids get away from home. When you get grandkids, you pray even a lot more as grandparents. My ripple of prayer has gotten bigger. It used to be pretty cool when it was only like three or four of us, you know, kids. And now our four kids, and now our seven or eight or nine grandkids, you know. It's like, whoo, Lord, we got to pray. Lord, we got to ask you to, and I pray every day. You know, when we get time to eat, generally, it's not just say, Lord, bless this food, we thank you for it. You know, pass the lips, down the stomach, into the thing, whatever. It's just like, Lord, oh, no, we go, Lord, first of all, thank you for this food, and we ask your blessings upon it. And I'm just paraphrasing, it just changes every time we pray. But it's like, Lord, thank you, first of all, for taking care of our kids. Thank you, Lord, for providing for them and our grandkids. And now, Lord, as they go out and about to school or to work or wherever they're at, I ask you, Lord, to protect them from any harm. I ask you, Lord, to keep them healthy and strong from sickness and bring them back home safely. you begin to have a lot of things to start praying about. Maybe it wasn't quite so like that until the last 5 or 6 or 8 or 10 years, to where all of a sudden kids go to school and something tragic happens and you're going, my gosh, there's been a shooting at a school and these kids didn't go to first grade thinking that they wouldn't be coming home that afternoon. We begin to understand how fragile life is and how fast things can change. And it puts us into a different realm of understanding of how much we really do need God. And we need to keep God covering us. Lord, cover us. Take care of us. Thank you for what you're doing. Anyway, now, prayer is our approach to God. And we are to come boldly to Him. We find some Christians approach Christ, approach God meekly with their head down. They're afraid to ask God to meet their needs. I'm sad. While others may pray flippantly, lacking proper respect or seriousness. Oh, yeah, you want me to pray? I'll pray. Okay, God, big, powerful God, blah, blah, blah. That's flippantly. Giving little thought to what they're saying. You don't realize, and God's word does tell us, that there's power of life and death in what? The tongue. Your voice, your words speak life or death. Cursings or blessings come out of your mouth. So be careful of what you say. They give little thought to what they're saying. We do need to come with reverence because He is God, but do so with a bold assurance that He is more than able to make and take care of your needs. And I just talked about the DVD study we're on, Glory Days, Living in the Promised Land. I think what we've seen in this and understanding Joshua and the helps of that and the prayers and the boldness of that, it's just one of these things. Our prayer life needs to be raised up a notch or two. Myself included. How about you? I don't want to remain where I'm at today in prayer. I want to grow in my prayer life. I want to grow in that, being audacious prayers to God, bold prayers to God. I want to boldly take and claim these things that God has said I can do. How many times has anybody, and I began to start thinking about this, I'm beginning to wonder how many things have I not received from God because I've not prayed and asked Him for them? I've done it on my own, I thought. I took care of it myself. I'm a big boy. I can handle it. I can do it. I got the answers. I've got this. I can do this. And then we fall flat on our face, and I just wonder sometimes, Lord, if I would have come to you first, it would have saved a whole lot of trouble. But I began to just personally think about myself and the things with my Heavenly Father, thinking, Lord, what have you up there that you had prepared to give to me had I just stopped and prayed for your will to be done in that situation in my life? Wow, that'll cause you, I hope, to stop and start thinking. It's like, because I don't want to leave anything on the table with God. If God has this, all this stuff here for Tim, I want to make sure I get my cut. It's like, if this is what God has for me, I want to claim it. Bring it on down, Lord. It's not naming and claiming and getting flaky with Him. But God has these things for us. He's got answered prayer for us. He knows what you're going to deal with. He knows what you need. So we need to take our prayer life up a notch. The enemy that is trying to throw all kinds of stuff at you, trying to discourage you. How many here get discouraged in a day or a week or so? Yeah, believe it or not, I get discouraged at times. Isn't that something? Just shows us all that we're human. I think the thing is how long do you stay in that discouragement? It's okay to be discouraged, but don't wallow in it. Don't stay in it. Don't be defeated in it. Don't allow the enemy, the devil, the god of this world, to see that he's got you down, he's keeping you down, and you lose all hope. Because once we lose all hope, there is no hope then. We just wallow in it. And we think this is as good as it gets. I guess this is where it's at. No more from God. It's just, now I'm just here. You got to learn those things and see those things. And yes, you'll get discouraged, but don't allow that to dictate the next hour of your life. Pull yourself up by the straps of the boots or something and begin to pray audacious prayers boldly to say, Lord, this is happening and I don't like it, Lord. And if I've done something that has caused this to happen in my life, Father, show me what it is. And when I see it and I repent and I say, forgive me for it, let's get back on the even keel with God and see what he has for me in that situation. The enemy that is trying to throw all kinds of stuff at you is trying to discourage you. He's trying to take you off course and away from God and the things that God has for you right now. How many here believe God has something for you right now? You know, and that's the thing. Many of us look at life and you'll get people saying, well, I don't know if it's about here, but I know heaven. Heaven's going to be great when I get there. Well, yeah, it is. But I don't think we're to be on this earth and to live this time waiting to go to heaven to be in discouragement, doom and gloom, in despair, and just make it through life by the skin of our teeth. We're to boldly go through this life. We're to boldly claim the things that God has given us. We're to change our course from what the world says we're going to do, and we're going to focus our sights on him. And we're going to say, you lead me and guide me, Lord, and everything I do and everything I say, I want to say it to the point, Lord, like what my example, Jesus said, I do this, I say not what the Father says, and I do these things to bring glory to him. Not glory to myself, not glory to our church. Everything I say, I want somebody, if they say, wow, Pastor, that was a great message, give the glory to God. Wow, that was wonderful that you did. Glory to God. I'm a child of his, and he's working through me. He's given us all gifts and talents to use. You've got a wonderful gift and talent in you somewhere, and some of us have more than one. And God just says, use it. Bring it out. Help the body of Christ. Help his kingdom. Woo! Amen. So we have to understand the enemy's out there trying to take us off course. Boldness is what we've talked about. Fearlessness, brave, being courageous in your prayers. And then quickly, just looking at some examples here. In Genesis 18, In Genesis 18:16, we're finding where Abraham is interceding for Sodom. We know the story of Sodom and Gomorrah, right? That was like an evil place. Bad things are happening. But in 18:16, it's this. Then the men arose from there, and they looked towards Sodom, and Abraham went with them to send them on the way. And the Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham what I am doing? Since Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him. And it goes on and talking about what he's going to do. And then verse 20, and the Lord said, because of outcry against Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and because their sin is very grave, verse 21, I will go down now and see whether they have done altogether according to the outcry against it that has come to me, and if not, I will know. Then the men turned away from there, and they went towards Sodom, but Abraham still stood before the Lord, and Abraham came near, and he said this to the Lord. This is personal, man. This is like talking to him. Woo! How many here feel that boldness to do this? And Abraham came near to God and said, would you also destroy the righteous with the wicked? Ooh. And we go on and know the story there. But that was that boldness that Abraham went to the Lord and said, would you destroy it? And it just doesn't stop there. Suppose there were 50 righteous within the city. Would you also destroy that place and not spare it for the 50 righteous that were there? And then it goes from the 50, and then it goes down, suppose there were 5 less than the 50. I mean, it wasn't just one prayer of Abraham saying, well, Lord, would you really do that? Abraham just kept going back and going back and going back. Would you do it? Would you do it? Would you do it? How many? Mary? So many times, yeah. And then will you not find 30? So we go from 50 to 30, and you just have to read through that. We're short of time to try to go through this. But that's just an example of boldness in a person in their prayer life and what they're interceding. That's interceding. That's a powerful thing for a Christian. We have got a powerful thing within us, not just to pray for yourself in the situations, but to intercede for a situation that you're aware of. Put yourself in that position. Quickly, in Exodus 32, we're just going to run through this, and I'm just going to throw these out here, but hopefully it'll kind of just give you the thought process of that boldness and how people stood in the gap. It's just standing in the gap for these situations. In 32:7, this is said, and then the Lord said to Moses, Go get down, for your people whom you brought out of that land of Egypt have corrupted themselves. They have turned aside quickly out of the way which I've commanded them. They have made themselves a molten calf and worshipped it and sanctified to it. And they've said, this is your God, O Israel, that brought you out of the land of Egypt. They're making graven images here. Now they're making golden. Oh, my. They messed up. And the Lord said to Moses, I have seen this people, and indeed it is a stiff-necked people. Anybody know any stiff-necked people in your life? Stiff-necked. Stubborn. Stubborn. Now, therefore, let me alone. This is the Lord. Now, he's talking to Moses. Now, let me alone, that my wrath may burn hot against them, and I may consume them, and I will make of you a great nation. And here it is. Then Moses pleaded with the Lord, his God, and he said, Lord, why does your wrath burn hot against your people, whom you have brought out of the land of Egypt with great power and with a mighty hand? Why should the Egyptians speak and say, he brought them out to harm them, to kill them in the mountains, and to consume them from the face of the earth? Turn from your fierce wrath and relent from this harm to your people. Relent means move to pity. Begin to pity those people. This is Moses interceding for the children of Israel. Bold to go before God. And then one other. We're just in this Joshua study. 10. In Joshua 10:12. Now they're going through the battle, and they're making headway, and they're winning. But now the sun is getting ready to go down. Joshua's looking at it. He's like, oh my gosh, we got these kings on the run. And if we give them a night to rest and all, they'll regroup and they'll be stronger again, and we'll have to battle tomorrow, and it's just going to take longer. So what does Joshua do? Before that, the Lord is already throwing hailstones down upon them, on the enemy, taking them out. But now it's getting ready, twilight, it's going to get dark. Joshua sees what's happening. Then Joshua speaks up to the Lord in that day when the Lord delivered up the Amorites before the children of Israel. And he said in the sight of Israel, sun, stand still. And then he goes on and then he talks about moon, stand still. He's talking to God, praying to God about this and because of what he wanted to accomplish in those things. And it talks about, is this not written in the book of Jasher? So the sun stood still in the midst of the heaven and did not hasten to go down for a whole day. And there has been no day like that before it or after it that the Lord heeded the voice of a man, for the Lord fought for Israel. Power. Power in your prayer and going before God. Amen? Amen. There's a few other things that I could cover there, but I think, do you get the drift of what I'm trying to say? What is it? Boldness. Boldness in your prayers. Boldness with going before God. I love my God. I love my God. I love going before Him. I love praying to Him. I love talking to Him. I love just walking out in the morning and saying, Lord, what a beautiful sound of the birds singing. Sun rising, the wind blowing, whatever the case is. Oh, just look at the grandeur of Him. Have a conversation with Him all the time. And then when that conversation turns to a situation that you got to pray about, say, hey, God, I got this situation. You already know about it, but I want to let you know that I know about it now, you know, because He knows all already. But that's that point of time to where we can do that. So I encourage you, be strong in your prayers. Don't be timid. Go before Him with that boldness. With reverence, with respect, with honor, because He's due all of that, but He does want us to come before Him. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Well, I hope you gained something out of this today, and you could go back through some of the scriptures maybe and just kind of look at that and just kind of review some of those things.